The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. I am back. Mr. Isaac Simpson has graced us with his presence again. You guys know Isaac. He was here a few episodes ago. We talked about the draft, and he called it his dream guy. They drafted him. We're all excited about that. I cannot believe how big that dude is. Like, have you been watching any of the media day stuff when he's like walking around? Yeah, I watched plenty of video before, but like once I see him around some of the other guys for the Grizzlies, I'm like, holy crap, that dude is jacked.
He is, man. You saw the video with him and Xavier Tillman kind of fools around there, man. He has the guns, man. Suns out, guns out for Desmond Bane, man. He's a big dude. I mean, at 6'5", 6'6". Probably about 225, 230, man. He's built solid. Definitely has that NBA body, which I think that's really going to help him defensively. I know he's not known as a defensive guy, but I think he has a lot of potential on that end because of that size. I think he'll be able to kind of stay with some guys. I think he'll be hard to kind of push off his spot being that size. So that's definitely something to watch. I think he's going to be – he has a lot of potential on defensive end to go along with. We know his tremendous shooting potential on the offensive end and what he can do there.
Yeah, it's Sharon Brown was tweeting about him the other day, and I'm, you know, those two guys in particular, like they have the NBA body already. Some of the guys coming out of college need to put on muscle. You know, Ja being one of those guys, he was a smaller frame guy, needed to muscle up some. He's put some muscle on now, but I'm like, man, these dudes are ready. Like they've already got it. So that's I can't wait. We are. Well, when this drops, the Grizzlies will actually play tomorrow, and we're that close. It feels almost surreal, honestly, man.
It's crazy. It looked like we were just watching the Lakers and the Heat in the finals. It's kind of because we were just watching the Lakers Heat in the finals, man. To be back here, man, preseason basketball actually starts tonight. Of course, like you said, the Grizzlies don't play until tomorrow, man. But I'm excited, man, ready to watch some NBA basketball. And I think it's an exciting time to be a Grizzlies fan. I think there's a lot to be hopeful for. This season is kind of a season where you kind of look at it. I don't think you should put a lot of expectations on it, but I think this is a season where growth is the biggest thing that you're looking for guys like Ja and Jared when he comes back, and how Justice Winslow fits into this, and can he stay healthy? Can Dylan take another step and be more efficient? Grayson Allen showed a lot in the bubble. I think we're excited to see can he continue that. I mean, it's a lot of things. Of course, Desmond Bane, Xavier Tillman, and even some of the guys they signed after the draft. Killian Tilly is a guy that I think has a lot of potential. I'm excited to see him. And it's going to be exciting. And I'm ready for it, man. Grizzlies again kick off tomorrow night. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see Tilly and some actually game time this year.
Yeah,
I think the virus will. And everything. There was a video, Sane retweeted it, that had Wiseman, and it showed him working on his shot.
Yes, threes.
Like four days ago, CBS was saying him and Draymond Green were COVID positive. So it's like, are they really practicing with their grade? Like, what is going on here? And it's not the bubble anymore. This is, you know, I think you're gonna unfortunately see some ugly season. You know, it like some of the stuff that MLB and the NFL has dealt with. So I think, you know, they expanded the number of games that the two-way guys can be with the main roster because of this. So it's I think that he is definitely a first-round talent, but the injuries just kind of, let him fall. I thought for sure he was going to get drafted by somebody, and then when I saw that they signed him, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go.
So, yeah, and I kind of saw a story where he said the Grizzlies had actually talked to him before and that they – had kind of made kind of a solid promise to him that's the team that he wanted. He wanted to be here in Memphis. And I was kind of excited to see that too. And I think they've expanded, I think 50 of the 70 games, if I'm not mistaken, that the two way guys can be up. So I definitely expect Tilly to be a guy that we're going to see up with the big club a lot this year. And again, he's a guy that can step out and shoot some threes, and any guy in NBA in this day and time at that size that can step out. I think he has a role in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he is a really good four next to Jonas. Honestly, man, you know, with his game, what he brings to the table, you don't have to worry about them tripping over each other. I think that's going to be a really interesting fit. We'll see how that goes. I know Coach Jenkins said the other day in his media availability that he wanted to run a 10-man rotation. And that's kind of, I'm like, man, who is going to be? Because, you know, you can name quite a few guys that you're certain that are going to be in the rotation. You know, the five starters, Ja, Jaren, JV, Dylan, Winslow, Gray, you would think that Grayson's going to be in there. Tyus is going to be in there, Melton. And it's like, okay, when you get Justice and Jaren healthy, guys that are playing right now, they just going to fade away completely? Like, what's going to happen? And so I want to get your thoughts on that, and we'll jump into that in a little bit. I want to start today. The Grizzlies made a move, and I know that you messaged me. You wanted to talk about this. So let's start off with the Mario Hezonja, that they cut him. And I think that you were kind of on the other side of the fence on that. You wanted to see what he could do.
Yeah, but Mario came over, of course, in the Desmond Bane trade. They're expanding to add Portland to that trade. And Mario Hezonja is a guy who I've always been intrigued with. I mean, he's been in the league for 5 years, and he hasn't necessarily panned out. But I think you kind of look at the situation. He's been in some bad situations in Orlando and New York, some teams that were kind of going through some dysfunction. I mean, he had 1 year where he averaged 10.4 rebounds and shot 34% from three. And I'm just kind of intrigued with his size. Got his 6'8", 6'9". I think he's a better shooter. I think his career number is only like 31%. But again, he's been in some bad spots. He's super athletic. I mean, he's a high IQ basketball player. He's a good passer. I just think there's some untapped potential there. And I think if he gets in the right structure, I think he could end up being a little bit better than what he's shown. I think it was kind of obvious from listening and talking to people over there with the organization that I don't think they ever intended on keeping him. So I think this was always kind of the route they were going to go. They informed Mario Hezonja and Gutierrez that they didn't even want him to come to camp. So it's kind of clear that wasn't going to happen. But, man, I kind of wish they had gave him a chance, especially seeing with Justice Winslow being out for the first month or so of the season, or something close to that, a few weeks at least, that he was a guy that maybe could fit in here and fill a space a little bit, just in case they made a 2-for-1 deal. I mean, the numbers weren't really there to keep him, but I thought maybe there's a possibility that before camp ends, there could be a 2-for-1 deal, something they'd make that would open up a roster spot. I just kind of wish they had gave him a chance, because I've kind of been intrigued with him as a player ever since he's been in the league, and I was kind of excited that they had got him and maybe gave him a look. But yeah, man, they waived him. They said that other teams would be interested. I think he'll get picked up pretty quickly, but again, I kind of wish we had gave him a look. But man, good luck to him wherever he lands.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent with him. I've watched a little bit, you know, with him being in the different places, and I was kind of reading about him today. You know, and like you said, that one season he was 10-4, and he shot 34% from three. So you got to wonder if that's there. If he gets in, I think the right situation is almost everything. Not for everybody. Some guys just have the talent that, you know, they can come in and they can fit wherever. But you look at a guy, I think Kyle Lowry is a great example, man. You know, he struggled until he got to Toronto, and then, you know, it was the right situation for him. And then now he's flourished to, you know, arguably the best franchise player in the history for the Raptors. You know, he's been around, you know, was there for the championship. And so, you know, obviously I don't believe that, you know, Mario is going to have that type of impact wherever he goes. But being that he's only 25, I wouldn't have minded. You know, like, I'm okay if he stays, but I understand looking at the roster, it's like, okay, where who's he going to take minutes from?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's not everybody is going to play that's on the bench, but I think with him being a veteran, you know, being in the league for 5 years, he's going to want to be somewhere where he has at least an opportunity to earn some minutes. And I don't know that Memphis was a place for him to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Like looking at the roster numbers wise, I don't think it was going to work out. But again, man, I just, any guy that 6'8", 6'9", a big wing like that, I kind of look at him as a poor man's guy. The names, I don't know what's wrong. The names is like escaping me right now. Just signed with Atlanta.
Gallinari.
Yeah, Danilo Gallinari. That's kind of a poor man's Gallinari. It's kind of what I envisioned for him. I think he has that type of talent, because he's athletic. I mean, you see him, you go up and dunk on some guys. He plays hard. He's kind of fiery. I know there's been some attitude questions about him in the past. But I mean, again, man, I agree with you. I think the numbers wise, I don't know if it just wasn't a fit here. And again, and he's moving on. But good luck to him wherever he goes.
So I didn't get a chance to look anything up of it. Was it Carver? Is that the guy that they signed to the exhibition contract or whatever?
Oh, well, Jahlil Tripp is the guy they signed to Exhibit 10. They did, instead, when they waived Hezonja, they did sign Ahmad Carver, who's a guy, a guard, who played for the Hustle last year. They did bring him into camp. So he's another camp body that they're bringing in. I don't think he has any chance of making the team. I think they just want to give him some experience, at a guy that's been with the Hustle, and see what they have in him.
Yeah, so do you think he'll probably stay on the Hustle roster then, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. Just giving him opportunity to come in and get some work in.
That dropped late, and you messaged me that, and I just didn't really, man, it's been a crazy day, so I hadn't had a chance to look to see, read anything about him, and I'll be honest, I've, other than knowing when Josh Jackson was down there, you know, I would look at the stats and see what he was doing, but I haven't kept up with the Hustle much at all.
Yeah, I mean, he was a pretty good player. I try to keep up. I try to go to a few games a year, kind of just go down there and check him out. I was kind of going down there to see Josh Jackson a couple times last year, mostly. But, I mean, he's a pretty good guard. I don't think he has any chance. I think they're just bringing him up again, a guy that can come up there and get some work in. And he's point guard, so he can kind of help with some of that. They might want to simulate some things and have him help work with the guard. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing with him. And I don't think they're thinking that he's going to make the roster or anything like that.
Just getting him some experience. All right, man, let's move on from that. Let's look at this first stretch here. Sam and I were going to talk about it. He wasn't able to make it, so I talked about it a little bit on the last show. But the first 13 games, right now Jaren's projected to be back around the MLK game with Phoenix. So we're going to be without Jaren for the first 13 games. And I think, you know, looking at it, it's a fairly tough schedule based off of, you know, you've got San Antonio, which they're healthy. You've got DeRozan and Aldridge. So that's a game that I think is definitely winnable. But, you know, it's not a guaranteed win. And then Atlanta's going to be improved this year. Brooklyn, Boston, an improved Charlotte team. Back-to-back with the Lakers. They shouldn't struggle with Cleveland. They should beat Cleveland with no problem. Brooklyn again, Cleveland again. Back-to-back with Minnesota. And then Philly before the MLK game. So out of those 13 games without Jaren, what do you think the Grizzlies can do? What do you, where are you at? Do you think that they can get out of that above 500?
I think what's really interesting, I think those back-to-backs are going to be really interesting to see how teams respond in those. Because, I mean, you look at, especially you see the Grizzlies, they have one with the Lakers, but they're two games at home. I mean, it's you want to try to split those. I know it's tough that the Grizzlies will be probably heavy underdogs in both of them. But to have a team in your home place back-to-back, you'd like to try to get one of those. So going through the schedule, I've kind of been giving the Grizzlies a split even against tough teams in those, because I think that's just kind of what you want. It's kind of like a playoff series, so you're kind of preparing and focused on that team for several days. So I think you might be more prepared than you would normally be when they're one-off. So you just got to look at the first 13 games. Like you said, I mean, you open up with San Antonio, that's definitely a winnable game. The Hawks are improved, but I think being here at FedEx Forum, I think that's a game the Grizzlies can win as well, even though I don't think home court advantage will be as big as it was, because some teams not going to have fans at all. The Grizzlies are going to have about 3,500 as of right now. But I think those are two games the Grizzlies can win right off the bat. I mean, you get start off 2-0, man. You can't ask for anything better than that. Now, going that road trip, it's tough, man. Going to Brooklyn, you know what they're going to have this year with the big three there at Boston. That's tough. So I think out of those first four, I think you'd be looking at 2-2. I think if you can go 2-2 in those first four, doing pretty well. You want to establish something on that road trip. You're at Charlotte. I think you look at that one as the one that you could possibly get out of those three. So you give them that one. You're 3-2. You come home two games against the Lakers. Again, that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. But if the Grizzlies can find a way to get a split, what that puts you at 4-3, Cavaliers, a team you think you can win, 5-3, the Nets back at home. That's a tough one. I say you lose that one, 5-4 at Cleveland. It's a game that you think you should win. 6-4, you split with the Timberwolves on the road, which is 7-5. And the 76ers coming back to FedEx Forum. And if you say you lose that one, 7-6, but I think you're 7-6 and you're above 500 going into that MLK game against Phoenix, which is going to be a much improved Phoenix team, you know, adding Chris Paul. That's going to be a tough one, but that's kind of a rivalry game. And at home, I think the Grizzlies have a chance. So if you're 7-6, 8-6, before you get Jaren back, and think you'll have Justin Winslow back sometime before then, I think that puts you in pretty good shape.
Sure. Yeah. That, you know, it's funny. You're the 7-6. That's where my co-host Sam, he was looking through and kind of the breakdown that you talked about. You guys were kind of looking at the same. I was a little more pessimistic just because of, I know it, like Tyus is back, and that was a big hole. I think that, you know, Jaren going down is obviously an issue, but I think that the secondary playmaker in the bubble, when Tyus went out, man, it was when Ja was not on the floor, they didn't have it. It was awful. And so I know Tyus is going to be here, so maybe it'll look a little bit better, but you're still missing one of your best players. So
No doubt.
You know, I was looking at 4 or 5 games there, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they'd done better than that. But I remember them starting slow last season. They'd come out of the gate, and they'd play with anybody in the first half and then, like, hit a wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were awful in the third quarter, and they finally got that figured out and won some games and strung some stuff together. So I'm hoping that maybe they get out of the blocks a little bit better this year than what they did last year. And they definitely, against some of these teams that they're playing, they're definitely going to need to get out of the blocks a little bit better. They're going to be in a hole awful early. So one of the games that's really intriguing to me in that stretch, you know, Boston's kind of, you know, they lost Hayward. Are they going to lean more on, you know, like, are these rookies that they draft, are these guys going to be playing big minutes? So, you know, that's a guy, Hayward, that was a high usage guy. So, you know, he was taking a lot of shots. And where are those going to go? Like, is Tatum going to take more shots? Jaylen Brown, you know, are we going to see those guys come up? And so Boston is going to look a little bit different this year than what they did last year. And obviously they're still going to be a good team. They still have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker, which I don't know when if Kemba's going to be out the first part of the year. I know he's been having some issues with that knee, so that'll obviously make a difference. But that one right there, I think, is one that, you know, when Sam and I were talking, we both kind of wrote that one off as a loss. But it's a new look for them. And with this quick turnaround with the season, what kind of effect is that going to have on them? And maybe the Grizzlies can go into Boston and steal one away. But, yeah, I think the home court advantage is, you know, like you said, that's not going to be something – there's not going to be anywhere that's going to be a true home court because you're not going to have a ton of fans in there. So I actually just secured my tickets. My day to select my seats was Wednesday of this week. So I got in there. I had to move sections for whatever reason. I normally sit in 110 at the Forum, but I had to move. I'm sitting in the Pinnacle level, and you know, that's okay. I don't care. I just wanted to get in there and watch games. And I know the risk. I've been COVID positive, and we've been super careful. Wow. And you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. I waited out, and I work in the medical field. I know what I need to do to be careful. I'm going to wear the mask and have sanitizer with me. And, you know, with everything, I've been talking with my rep quite a bit, and everything that they're doing, all the stuff that they're doing to try and keep everybody safe. I feel comfortable going down there. And I know that he said there's a lot of people that are not, and I completely understand that side of it too, but I'm just excited for basketball.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the other side of that. I definitely understand. They're definitely have great safety protocols in place, and they're going to do everything they can to keep people safe. I'm diabetic, so I'm kind of still leery of going into any significant crowd. So I'm going to set out this year and forego to next year. I know they said, as long as you kept your account at 20%, that you keep your status. I'm actually a legend season ticket holder, so I've had season tickets for a long time, but I'm going to forego this season. But man, I definitely going to miss being down there, man. I can't wait till we have that thing packed out again, man, and we can get back to a normal atmosphere, because it's NBA basketball, but it's just not quite the same. And I know the players probably kind of feel the same way, that they don't have that true home court advantage, man. I miss that, man. You never don't miss what you don't have until it's gone, man. It's crazy that the last time we were there, man, and think under normal circumstances that thinking, well, that could be the last time we could be there for a while. It's crazy to think and look back on that now that we can't do that right now, and I definitely miss it. But it's good that they're going to be able to have some fans there. I know some places aren't going to be able to have any. So it's good even to have 3,500 in there. It's better than having none, for sure.
And I know, like, that they've been communicating, you know, with emails, and I'm sure you've seen it too, about, you know, the, if things change or whatever,
yeah,
like, you don't have to worry. If you secure a package, you know, you're going to be fine. We're not going to charge you for games that you can't go to. So I don't know. It's a lot to play out. It's going to be,
I think it's going to be a roller coaster ride for sure. I think there's going to be cancellations. I think you're going to have players out, contact tracing stuff. It's going to be a while. I think we've kind of seen it in with college football and NFL. I think they've kind of run into some problems here now. It was rolling around pretty smoothly, but I think with the NBA, I think you just got to take it as it comes, man. But I think at least they're going to try to make it work. And I think they'll get through it some way, somehow, but I do think there'll be bumps along the road.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, man. So we got your, you say 7-6 on the first 13 games. We got a 72 game season. What's your over under? What do you think the Grizzlies are going to do this year? Full season projection. What's their win loss record?
Man, it's tough to the without seeing that second half of the schedule. I think through the first, the first half of 37 games, I think that's what they released. I had them at 19-18. I think through the first 37, when you're looking at 72 games, I think somewhere around 500. I think it is where this team could be potentially. Again, it depends on what they, especially depends on what they do in this first half before they get Jaren back. I think will go a long ways in determining that. But I think this is a team that is going to get better as the season goes on once they get healthier. I think this is a team. This is a bunch of guys who have kind of played together for a while now. They kind of know each other. I think. I'm a big believer in Bane. I think he's going to have a significant impact year one. I think even he could be a starter opening night at that two position. I think Dylan might end up playing a little bit more three this year. I think that's definitely something to watch. But looking at flipping, I think something around 500. I'm going to go right on the line and say 36-36 for this team. I think that will secure them for sure a spot in that top 10 in order for them to get into play. And I think that's all you want right now, because I think it's gravy. And I don't think anyone should go into the season and say, well, this is playoff or bust. I think, again, as I said earlier, when we first got on, I think growth is what you want to see. Even if they don't make the playoffs or even if they didn't get in their top 10 for some reason, I think as long as you don't see a step back from guys like Jaren Jackson or Dylan Brooks and guys like that, I think it's a success. I don't think this season should be measured on do they make the playoffs and what happens with that. I think you just want to see growth from the young guys and see that chemistry maturity, even on the sideline with Taylor Jenkins. I think his maturity and some things that we kind of questioned with him last year. He said he kind of got in the lab this summer and really went over the whole year and evaluated himself and his staff. And I think him growing along with these guys, I think is what we want to see. Is as long as they don't take a step back in that area, I think it's a positive. But 500, I think, would be 36-36, I think would be really good for what his team is and vote very well for the future.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on the growth thing. You know, you're going to be able to determine, okay, what do we have? Is Dylan, you know, we signed Dylan to the contract, but is he a guy that we're going to keep around? Is he going to be a part of this team moving forward? I like Dylan. I'm on the Dylan Island. I think that he is. I think that the issues that he has with his game, all the crap that he gets from this fan base, there's nothing in that is not coachable. Whether he accepts the coaching or not is going to make all the difference in the world. And, you know, I think it's a win-win. If you see, as long as there's improvement, you kind of learn where you're at, you know what pieces you're missing moving forward. You're not losing if you miss the playoffs this year. That this next draft, the first probably, I'd say maybe 15 to 18 guys are all guys that are going to come in year one and be able to, you know, be a huge part of a team. And there's even a few guys that are going to be maybe even franchise changing players. So, you know, even if you do miss the playoffs and you get into the lottery, you can end up with a great piece in that draft. That's what I want to see. I want to see, where is this roster at? Okay. Is Grayson Allen, you know, he played well in the bubble. Is he going to be a rotation guy? Are they moving him out? Are they packaging him with somebody to get more assets? Like, what's going on with that? And so I will not be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs this year. I'll be fine if they do. Like, the playoff basketball with your team is a lot more exciting than not. But you know, I'm not going to be disappointed if they miss the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, just same here. I just don't think that should be the expectation. I've kind of put that caveat out there. A lot of fans might think and saw what happened last year and think they were right on the cusp because they kind of overachieved for that first year. I think did more than what any of us thought probably going into the season. Because a lot of times people were thinking this could be number one draft pick type team, and it was not that at all. And I think a lot of fans might have gotten a little bit spoiled last season, and if they don't make the playoffs this year, be a little bit disappointed. And I don't think that's the case, because I think you kind of look around the West, and the West has gotten better. The West is going to be better this year than it was last year. And that the Grizzlies' aim this summer wasn't to put all their chips in for this season. I think they're playing the long game, and I think it's the right move. I'm kind of glad to see them not kind of forced to action. I think you held on to some of your assets. Now we'll see what happens at the trade deadline. You kind of got some ammunition with Georgie Jean's signed contract. You got Kyle Anderson, a couple of movable pieces. You kind of mentioned Grayson Allen, if they decided he's a piece they want to move on from. They have some ammunition to kind of get something done at the deadline if that's what they want to do, because I think teams will definitely be interested in Jean's expiring contract come trade deadline time to open up some cap space. But the season is about growth, and I think next offseason and the offseason after that is going to be the time where this team really tries to make a move. I think this season is just about evaluating what they have, not just on the floor, but as a coaching staff. I think they're growing and learning, and it's going to be fun to watch this team kind of mature. When you talk about Dylan, I think one thing about Dylan is I think he was kind of miscast. I think right now they're asking more of him than will probably be asked for him going forward once this team becomes closer to a finished product. I think he might be a guy that can come off the bench and be that microwave score guy for you, and he might have somebody else as that score, that shooting guard, two guard, three in the starting lineup that you don't have to depend on him so much. I think they asked a lot of him offensively, seeing the way with this roster makeup, and I don't think that might not necessarily be the case going forward. So, again, I think Dylan is a part of this team going forward. I just think he was kind of miscast and asked to do a little bit more right now than he may be capable of, and I think that's kind of – you kind of see him forcing things at time because he's one of the only perimeter threats before kind of Grayson stepped up in the bubble that this team really had. So I think he kind of felt the pressure of coming in there scoring points because he thinks the team needed it.
Yeah, you know, he was the only guy, or, you know, that with Bane, he's going to probably step up and be able to do that as well. But
yeah,
one of my strong backing things that, like, what I use to support Dylan is there's not another guy on this roster that can go and get his own shot. Dylan does get tunnel vision. Like, I'm not blind to his flaws. I see what he does. You know, there's a spot in the bubble. Like, there's a video that you see all the time where Grayson was wide open in the corner and Dylan pulls up over three guys.
Yeah.
Like, I see those things. I know that he has flaws, but outside of Ja, there's nobody else on the team that's going to really go out and get their own shot. And so now when you're getting more pieces around him that can do that, I think Dylan excelled when they were running like dribble handoffs with him and JV, getting him some space where he doesn't necessarily have to do it on his own. He's getting a little screen on that dribble handoff and just using his steps to get the distance between him and getting his shot up. And in the bubble, he was doing, like, when they were running those DHOs, he was excelling and doing really, really well. You know, they're going, like, they got a back-to-back here against the T-Wolves in the preseason, and he freaking torched the T-Wolves last year. If he played everybody else the way that he played the T-Wolves last year, this fan base would be loving him. Cause, I mean, he averaged 28 points a game, and he shot 54% from the field against the Timberwolves last year. So, I mean, he's flashed some stuff that gives me hope. It's like, okay, it's in there. Can they design the – or, you know, like, can we get him in a position where he can be efficient at it and not, you know, be in a spot where he's forcing it or having to be that playmaker? It's I think Desmond Bane being on this roster is going to help him a ton. And I know, you know, we're putting a lot of weight in the rookie, but just the – you know, I think I told you last time when we talked about this draft, I studied this draft more than any draft that I ever have. And it baffled me why Desmond Bane was so far down the board. I'm just like, why? Like, this kid is everything that you want in an NBA player. And, you know, I'm just glad that he fell far enough that Memphis could, you know, make the trade and not have to give up the world to pick him up.
And Dillon even said as much in his media availability the other day that he felt like Bane is a guy that's going to help him and take some pressure off him. And I definitely think that's the case, because he's a guy that can come in and knock down some shots and make some perimeter shots for this team, which they sorely need. And another thing about Dillon, and the reason why I defend him so much, is because I don't think when he makes these mistakes and takes these bad shots, I don't think it's from a place of selfishness. If you watch Dillon, he wants to win. He wants to win very badly. I mean, you can see it on his face, and he's down on himself when he makes those mistakes. I think he's just trying to make something happen, because he feels like, again, like I said a minute ago, he feels like the team needs it. And I don't think he's just a selfish guy that just wants to put up all these shots. I think he feels like they need him to put up those shots and hit those threes. And sometimes he just gets tunnel vision and tries to do too much. But I think it comes from a place of just simply trying his best to do what he thinks needs to win. And I think that's kind of the case with him. But again, I do think Desmond Bane will take some of that pressure off him, because they just didn't have the guy before Grayson stepped up and what he did in the bubble that can knock down shots like that. And we hopefully Grayson can continue that, because now if Grayson can do what he did in the bubble, you got three guys that can kind of knock down shots like that, and that opens things up for JV. It helps give John Morant targets to pass to dribble drive and kick the ball out to for guys that can knock down shots. And I think the entire team will be better for it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you got a guy with the handles that Ja has, ability he has to get to the basket, when you have people on the team around him that can knock down that outside shot, that defense is not going to collapse so much. So one of two things is going to happen. Ja is going to use his ability and his athleticism to get to the rim and finish, or they're going to collapse to one of these guys that can shoot the ball. And they're going to have a good look at a wide open three. And so that's excited is not a strong enough word. It's just not. I'm ready to watch what this is going to be and see the young guys. And I really, really think that there's a lot of people that don't understand what Tillman is going to bring to this team. You know, they look at the size and they see an undersized big man, but I think that he is going to be, you know, we all knew what Ja was coming into the season last year, right? We knew, like, he's a number two, like, he's taking over the team. We expect good things from him. And then Brandon came in and just exceeded expectations and was great. And I feel like this is going to be, you know, a lot of people are high on Bane. I'm included. I'm high on Bane for sure. But I think Tillman is going to be a guy that has almost a Brandon effect, in that I think that he's going to come in and contribute and exceed a lot of expectations for himself. So, you know, it's definitely a great time to be a Grizzlies fan and to be covering this team. So let's talk a little bit about this, the T-Wolves matchup on Saturday. We get our first look, right? Because the T-Wolves, so first look at the number one overall pick. Are you a fantasy basketball guy? Do you play fantasy basketball?
I don't play fantasy basketball. I'm a big NFL fantasy guy. I've never been a big fantasy basketball guy or baseball or anything like that, because you have to do too much. You have to change the lineup too much in different nights and stuff like that. So I've never really got into fantasy basketball. I played a couple times, but I haven't really got into it. I'm more of an NFL fantasy guy, but I'm not opposed to it at all. It's just a lot different. I've never got into how you make it work with the different nights and teams playing this night and teams not playing that night and how all that works.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. I stopped playing baseball because it was just a grind.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I do this stuff to have fun, and baseball is a job. 162 games is just too much.
So enough doing it once a week with NFL, man. Having to do stuff every night, man. It gets crazy. The waiver wire and moving guys around, it does get tough with baseball. I played baseball a few years, and it's a job in itself for sure.
It was just crazy to me. I was asking if you were a fantasy basketball guy. I asked that to lead up. I done my first fantasy draft. We done a long draft because some of the guys in the league are from Australia, so we had 4 hours to pick. Like when you were on the clock, you had 4 hours. Wow. And Anthony Edwards, the number one overall pick in the draft, he didn't get drafted. It's a 14-team league. He was the last player in the draft to get picked. The very last pick of the draft, the guy took him. And I was trying to remember the last time that that happened with a number one overall pick. And the one that comes to mind was Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that people have soured on this kid really quick. So, you know, I don't wish anything bad on anybody. I wish him success, but he's had some bonehead stuff to say in interviews, and it just kind of blows my mind that, you know, I would like to see the teams, or I would like to think that teams have somebody around to help these guys out. Cause some, you know, like some of these kids get exposure in high school, so they're dealing with it early, and some don't. And I think that he's just one that just doesn't have anybody in his corner to kind of help guide him in the right direction. Whenever it's like, you know, you can think those things, but is it really okay to say those things? So I don't know. I don't know what he's going to bring to the table. I've said bust right off the bat, but I don't know. We'll see. What do you think? What do you think the odds are the Grizzlies win this first preseason game?
It's hard to know what to expect. It's so crazy right now. We're on this quick turnaround, and you're on the road. I definitely think the Grizz will win one of the two. I don't think either team will win both. I think they'll probably split. But to kind of go back to Anthony Edwards, I know we talked about him ad nauseum the last time I was on here. And he already had a narrative about him, and since then, he definitely hasn't said anything to help himself, or for sure. I think me covering the Tigers, I was there on press row when he played against Georgia, and I watched a lot of him. He's a guy that just he takes plays off. He just doesn't make his teammates better. He doesn't seem to he doesn't play defense. The only time you see any effort on defense is when he's really cooking on offense. If he's struggling, his shot's not falling, he's not playing any defense. And then offensively, he's extremely streaky. I agree with you. I think Anthony Bennett is a great comparison, because that's what I thought going into this draft. If he went number one, I think that's exactly what we could see. I think Minnesota's going to regret taking him there at number one. I think I would have went with Ball. I don't love any of these guys at the top of the draft, but I think if I had number one pick and I kept it, I think I would have went with Ball. I don't know if that was exactly the best pick. I think I don't know what I would have done if I was number one. I probably would have shopped it. I probably would have took calls to see what I could get. But I mean, Anthony Edwards, I mean, I never saw it with him. I mean, again, he's extremely inefficient, and I think I'm right there with you. I think he's going to be a bust, and we'll see what happens. But as far as these two games, man, I'm just excited to see the Grizz get back on the floor. I think there's a lot of things you're looking at. You know, Justice and Jaren are going to be out, so how are they going to replace them? I think if I'm Taylor Jenkins, I think I'll go with Bane at the two spot and Dylan at three here in the preseason and to start the season. I think that's kind of the lineup I would look at. I think it's also interesting to see what they do at center. You know, Jonas is going to start, but is Gene going to be a guy that's just going to have round until they move him, or is Xavier Tillman and Jonte Porter going to get the majority of those minutes? Again, Dean be a guy that's just kind of there until they move him. That's something that I'm going to be watching, because again, I'm high on Tillman as well, and they seem to be really high on Jonte Porter. I thought they might let him go. I thought that might be kind of an avenue to where open up a roster spot and Zonia could kind of sneak in there, but they seem to like him. They extended him, gave him a contract, so it looks like Jonte Porter's going to be around. And they seem, from everybody I talked to, they seem to be high on him over there, coming off that injury. So that's going to be – I'm excited to see him play as well. And, of course, Bane and where he fits in. Again, I'm really high on him, and I think he could be an opening night starter. So those are some of the things I'm going to be looking at. Of course, Ja coming into his second year. He's so tremendous last year. What can he add to his game? Dylan Brooks, can he get back on track? He kind of struggled there in the bubble. Kind of got a little bit better there toward the end, but to see if he can – pick up to where he was early in the season before he got his extension. Well, will that happen? So it's going to be a fun preseason. We've got four games, two against the Timberwolves, two against the Hawks, against two teams, I think, young teams with some young guys. You get to see Trae Young and Ja twice. I mean, so it's going to be fun. But those are some of the things I'm looking at, the young guys and how the center rotation plays out and kind of how Coach Jenkins manages not having Jaren Jackson and Justice Winslow there, how he kind of handles that situation.
So if you had, I'll ask you this one last question, let you elaborate on this a little bit, and then I'll let you go, man. I want to keep you all night. Coach Jenkins made the comment about he wanted to go with a 10-man rotation. If you had to call it right now before the season started, who do you think is going to be that 10-man rotation? Or do you think that maybe we see enough production from some of these guys that he has more than a 10-man rotation?
Man, you got to make a point earlier about that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Jared and Justice comes back, because I think there are 12, 13 guys on this team that deserve minutes. But early in the season, I think, of course, you got Jai, point guard. I think Bane is going to get the start at shooting guard. That's my prediction. You got Dylan at small forward and power forward. I think Kyle Anderson is going to be your starter, because you've kind of seen Brandon Clark next to Valanciunas, and he just doesn't – there's not enough space for him in there when he's in there with Ja. He's much better when JV's off the floor and he's in there by himself, because I think JV kind of clogs up the lane for him. So I think we'll see Kyle Anderson at power forward and JV at center. And, of course, you got Tyus Jones backing him up at shooting guard. You got Grayson Allen. That's seven. Grayson Allen, I think you got – depends on what happens at center. I think Xavier Tillman's going to be that guy to back up JV. I think Dean's going to be kind of a guy. They just kind of have rounds at veteran presence until they get ready to move him. Who am I leaving out? I got Grayson Allen, Tyus Jones, Xavier Tillman. Brandon Clark, of course, is going to be in there. BC is going to be in there. Is that nine? I'm trying to think who am I leaving out.
You hadn't mentioned Melton yet.
Melton is other, would be the 10. I think those are your 10 guys. I think Contra could be the 11 guy, the guy that's right kind of on the outside looking in. But you got to look at that, look at all those guys, and then you're going to have Justice Winslow and Jared Jackson come back, and you got to just kind of figure out what's going to happen with some of those guys. So that's going to be interesting to watch play out, because I think this team, depth-wise, is probably deeper as they've ever been. I think you have guys at every position, and a lot of guys that can come in, the guys that – probably won't even get minutes once those two guys come back that can really come in and play for you. This team has a lot of depth. I think that's going to be one of their strengths going on later into the season, that they have guys they can bring in and rotate guys in and out. I think he's going to end up going higher than that, especially when his team's fully healthy.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know that he's going to be able to stick to a 10-man. I think there's going to be – if he sticks to 10-man, there's going to be guys that deserve to be on the floor that are definitely not going to be there. And the Gorgui thing is weird, man. It's just like, so if you set him, if you're not playing him and he's not in your rotation, obviously the contract, the expiring contract is still, it's still valuable.
Yeah.
You know, that's still valuable. But does it lose any if he's just sitting there not playing any minutes? And I've thought about that. I don't really know that it does. I don't think it makes any difference whether you play him or not.
I don't think so.
But, you know, he's good. He deserves to be out there. Like, he's definitely an NBA caliber. Like, he's a solid backup center. But with the future of this team, are you going to have him out there over a guy? You know, if Tillman is out here and he's playing well, are you going to have Gorgui on the floor over Tillman? And I don't think that's going to be the case. So, got a lot to look forward to, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your day and coming back on with me. I would love it if you'd come back on throughout the season, man. We can chat off and on throughout the season. I think we play off each other pretty well. I enjoy having you on. So,
oh man, for sure. And one last thing about Gorgui, he played really well when he first came over in the trade. I mean, I was excited. I mean, he was really playing well as part of the rotation. Then they get in the bubble, and it just seemed like he had fell out of the rotation. It's kind of some weird things. Josh Jackson was another guy who was playing well before the shutdown, and him and Gorgui just seemed to be completely out of the rotation once they got in the bubble, barely even played. So that kind of leads me to think that he's probably going to be kind of in the same situation, especially now that you have two young guys in Tillman and Porter that you want to take a look at. So I got a feeling he's probably going to be just kind of a guy that's just kind of around. He might get some spot minutes here and there and a veteran presence in the locker room. But like you said, he is a guy that's an NBA rotation player, can stretch the floor, knock down some shots from the perimeter, not going to do much for you on the inside, but he's definitely a rotation player. So that's going to be something to watch, but I got a feeling they kind of run with those young guys behind Valanciunas. But man, again, man, enjoyed being on, man. Definitely anytime, man. Glad to be coming back on throughout the season. Love talking with you. And again, man, starting tomorrow night, man, Grizzlies basketball is back, man. I'm excited.
Yep, for sure. All right, guys, you can find Isaac on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. Is that correct? I didn't mess that up.
That's it. Isaac_Rivals.
You got anywhere else they can find you, man?
Yeah, man. Just you can check out our stuff over at TigerSportsReport.com. But you know, I'm always on Twitter. I'm talking Grizzlies, talking Tigers, man, whatever else is on my mind. Always very active on Twitter. I answer people on Twitter. I know a lot of media guys don't really respond. I probably respond a little bit too much at times, get myself in trouble a little bit, but I enjoy talking with everybody, man. It's fun.
I was concerned for your health during the election, man. I don't know when you slept.
Man,
you were I would wake up in the middle of the night and you were steady tweeting. I'm like, holy crap, he hadn't slept in like 4 days. What's going on?
I was probably up for like a week, man. I couldn't sleep during that time. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts for sure. All right. Thanks again, man. You have a good one.
Will do, man. Talk to you next time.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Special shout out to Mr. Isaac Simpson for coming on again. Going to run his Twitter handle by and give you the show stuff before we get out of here. He is at Isaac_Rivals. The show is at Hootball Grizz. I am at DWill2111. Sam is SammyB1118. You know about our sponsors over at MyBookie.ag. The promo code is Hootball. Go over there, sign up. It's easy, guys. You go to MyBookie.ag, best sportsbook online. They got more lines, better odds than any other sportsbook out there. Use our promo code. Let them know we sent you. If you're looking for some Manscaped product, go over, use our promo code HOOPBALL20. That's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go through.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.